When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Forever! Dog.
The killer is only a heartbeat away. This week on the podcast, Richie Tankersley Cusick's Fatal Secrets.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast where we discuss YA pulp fiction. I am one of your hosts, Lindsay Katai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
Richie Tankersley Cusick has brought us so much joy. And this week, she brings us Fatal Secrets.
Fatal Secrets. Did you see the twist coming in this one?
Yes.
I did not.
I didn't see that it was like...
So many twists.
I thought there was one twist, and I thought it was Steve.
Okay.
The stepdad. I did not know it was triple twist, all of them.
All of them.
Which does explain why I was like, there are so many red herrings in this book, and I do not know how she's going to reconcile the fact, like, what all of their behavior has been.
Yeah.
If they didn't do it. And then It turned out all of them did it.
Also, like, I was like, oh, man, this is like a love pentagram. Like, There's like so many different weird male energies. Because I was like, first, I was like, okay.
I just wasn't feeling Charlie.
Mr. Bambolina.
Charles.
Whatever.
Oh, my God. I did not see that one coming at all. I was like, no, Mr. Pantini.
Yeah. So Mr. Pantini. Is that his name Pantini?
Yeah, I think so. But.
Uh-oh, is there a kitty?
There's a kitten.
There's a little kitten pawing at some.
What did he just do to it?
I think he licked it.
He licked the microphone?
Just licked the mic.
Oh, screamer. Go over there.
I'll download the book onto my phone so that it remember names.
Okay, so Mr. Pantini is the guy who runs this like quaint
toy shop.
Little toy shop.
Who talks like Geppetto.
Yeah.
His character is so funny.
It's like.
I could not stop laughing at this, like, comically stereotypical Italian man where he's like, Orion, you are so sweet to me. How do I love you so much? Like, you work so hard.
He's like, oh, all of the customers are here. I will take care of them. And she's like, Mr. Pantini.
You're a sweetheart. I was sad when it turned out he was a part of it.
Yeah, I was bummed that Mr. Pantini was part of it.
All right, so we should give a plot. Pertini. His name is Pertini.
Not Pantini.
Not Pantini.
And not Bambolini.
The great Pertini.
Okay, so who is the main character?
Ryan McCauley.
Ryan, that's right.
She is a teen.
Yeah.
She's probably a senior.
Yeah, she's a senior.
Yeah.
She and her sister, Marissa,
are out looking for pine cones
to make decorations for Mr. Pantini's store for the Christmas holiday.
Because it is Thanksgiving. That's why Marissa's home.
Yes.
And so he wants to decorate for Christmas.
Yes.
Marissa is stressed.
Yeah.
She has got a secret. Is it fatal? Yes, it is.
Yes. I mean, it really is.
Very fatal to her. And almost others.
Yeah, they get into a little tiff.
Yeah. So, like, she tells Ryan, I'm scared. I may have gone too far. We have to develop that film I gave you. Mm-hmm. And Ryan's like, stop fucking with me. You go look here. I'll go look there.
She's like, we got to split up, like Mom said, to look for the pine cones. So they split up. And then she hears like a scream and then water. And she's like, what? We're in the woods and it's snowing. Where's the water?
Like,
there's a, it's actually a river. Lake. It's a big river and Marissa fell in.
Yep. Did she fall? No.
No, she was pushed.
She was pushed. She, like, it got hacked open and she was dragged. Mm-hmm. So Ryan tries to save her, does not succeed.
Marissa's like, she's like, sleeve, sleeve. She's like, I'm trying to grab your sleeve and I can't. And or, she falls under.
She says, sleeve, sleeve. And Ryan thinks she's saying, well, she says,
she's really
Eve,
saying
Eve. She's saying Steve. Steve. She's trying to warn her that Steve is a part of a drug ring. Steve yeah. being their mother's boyfriend. So that happens. Marissa's dead. Cut to 3 weeks later. Marissa or Ryan is talking to her friend Phoebe. Phoebe is sort of being good, supportive, but mostly bad.
Worst best friend in history is Phoebe.
Yes.
Because later in the book, although, she's the worst.
There are many terrible best friends in these types of
there
books.
There are.
Because they have to be the type who don't listen to their friends.
Yeah.
When they're telling them something's up.
Yeah. They have to not believe it. Because our narrator needs to feel alone.
Yep. So the way that that is accomplished in this book is that Phoebe is a boy crazy. And so she spends most of the book just caring about a boy named Michael, who we never meet.
Yeah. Michael Kleinman.
Yep. No. It was something else. Oh, yeah. Kilmer.
Kilmer.
Michael Kilmer. Because I was like, Val Kilmer.
Oh.
So blah, blah, blah. They're leaving school. Oh, who's that over there? It's the handsome boy, Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
So sensitive and moody and doesn't talk to other people and briefly dated Marissa.
Mm-hmm.
So la, la, la. Ryan goes to work. Mr. Pantini is there.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan looks at a dollhouse. The dollhouse appears to now have a little like glass flake broken with a doll stuck into it with red ribbons in its hair, just like Marissa had
mm-hmm.
when she drowned. And Ryan is like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Someone is tormenting me. Mr. Partini comes out. He's like, oh, Ryan, what are you talking about?
Also,
oh, you think of people come in here and they change up with the dolls.
The miscommunication
this
that
is
occurs.
The kind of accent I can handle.
Yeah. But the miscommunication that occurs is insane. And now knowing now that he's like in on it,
he was
makes sense.
He was pretending he didn't know what she was saying.
So she's like, the dolls, they're out, like someone set them up. And he's like, oh, you want to put the dolls outside? Okay, we can do that. And she's like, no, someone else did that. Like how my
sister
died.
I hear what
died.
You're saying. You love a doll. So they go outside.
And then he's like, a customer outside. And she's like, no.
Oh, and he's like, oh, there is a customer tormenting you, a pizza pie.
And he's like, I do a delivery.
Oh, Pinocchio.
Not the giorno.
Oh, the giorno. Oh, Parmesan.
And he's like, rigatoni.
Oh, olive oil.
Tagliatelle. And she's like,
what
okay.
are you saying?
So she's like, I don't get it.
So you know how much we are not fully exaggerating. I'm going to find a Mr. Partini section because it's wild. Okay. So she has just seen the setup made to look like her sister drowning, which is cold.
Also
that
scary.
Is fucked up.
I actually thought this book was scary.
It is.
The doll thing was scary.
She's getting tormented.
Tormented.
So so Ryan is like, Mr. Bertini, where are you? And he says, yes, yes, Bambolina, I hear you. The whole street, it hears you too, eh?
Oh, also he's like, what are you so excited about, Bambolina? You just see Santa Claus, and he promised to bring you a nice young man for Christmas.
What happened to you? Why you look so scared?
The dollhouse, the pond, it's broken.
What? You mean somebody busted up the mirror? 7 years of bad luck.
But the doll, you've yes. got to come.
Here, you take one. We'll trade off,
okay.
Mr. Partini.
Yes, Ryan, I come. Ah, there go my tools on the floor. Clumsy me. Yes, yes, just let me pick them up.
Yes, yes, I see the pond. Yes, yes, but nobody drowning.
Then you tell me, eh? You tell me, Bambolina, so I understand.
And you move her back inside.
But how can that be? These are no walking dolls. Are sitting dolls.
What do you say to me, Bambolina? What? You think she need help, this little doll? Maybe she'll want to go outside in the snow, yes? Yes, yes, it's okay. You help her. Put her outside. Whatever you want.
Ah, Ryan, it's a much too sad. My worst heartache.
Oh, that is so fucked up that everybody is like, Ryan, stop bringing up your dead sister, Marissa, because it's breaking my heart.
Yes.
Like, I blame myself more than anyone.
Yeah.
Like, Phoebe says this. Yeah. She's like... So obviously Ryan blames herself because Marissa drowned when she was trying to pull her out of a river, a frozen river. And she can't stop blaming herself. And Phoebe's like, you can't keep blaming yourself for her death. I mean, if you walk it back, we can all do that. Like, Mr. Partini sent you out there and he feels terrible. And like, you might not have got, like, Marissa and I might not have gone with you if I had been there that night. So I can blame myself. And she's your like, mom so do you can blame her. So do you blame me? No. And it's like, I understand what she's going for. But then when she gets to Mr. Partini's shop and he's like, oh, why would you bring your sister up? It's one of my greatest heartache.
Also, then he's like, after that, he then takes over and is like, my wife died
25 years ago.
And so then he starts complaining about his wife dying 25 years ago. And I'm like, dude, this is not about you. Her sister just died.
And Ryan's a fucking pushover. She's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I won't bring it up again. You're so right. I'm so cold. I suck. I hate myself. But now knowing that he was in on
this
drug ring that killed Marissa because she had found out what they were doing, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Partini sucks.
Yeah, he sucks. So then she's there and...
There's also a guy with a big coat and a ski mask looking at her in the window.
Yeah, and she's like, ah.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. And then
she goes home.
Goes home.
Oh, her mom is sitting in Marissa's bedroom like she always does now. And she's like moping and ignoring Ryan. And then, someone's at the door.
Who is it? Oh my God, it's Charles.
Some dick named Charles.
I hated Charles all the time.
God. Why didn't... So he gets there, he's holding all of these wrapped presents and he is like, Marissa had these in her closet. I knew she'd want you to have them. So I wrapped them and brought them here. And he looks at Ryan.
She's like, I'm Ryan. He says, oh,
you're the one who let her drown. And Ryan's like, what?
Yeah.
Why would... Except here's what drives me nuts. The whole rest of the book too. Why wouldn't your first response be, how could you say that?
Yeah.
Or why would you say that? I don't even know you. Why the fuck doesn't she tell her mom that he says that?
Yeah.
Why doesn't she tell Phoebe that he says
she
that?
She does.
Why doesn't she tell Steve that he said
that? She tells Phoebe, because remember.
She tells Jinx. Oh,
she tells
got
Phoebe and Jinx.
An
and
annoying
they both,
little brother.
They both say, he wouldn't say that.
That's too crazy.
They're like, listen, I don't know him, but I don't think he would say that.
That doesn't sound like a Charles thing to do.
And it's like,
that doesn't sound very Charles.
And they're like, that's just too cruel.
He is a stranger. They've never met him. He's just some boy from Marissa's college. And
he's like, I used to date Marissa. I was dating her.
Yeah.
I love her. Here, she told me all about you guys. And they're like, we have not ever heard about you. And he's like, yeah. Anyway, here's some presents that she bought and she left. So I just wrapped them because that's what she would want. And I'm going to bring them here. And the mom's like, why don't you stay?
It's like
here.
It's like The Guest, that movie, The Guest with Dan. What's his face from Downton Abbey?
What is that?
A guy. What's his name? Dan? Damn it. I can't remember. So he gets out of the military and he goes and visits the family of the guy like who he knew in his, I don't know, army terms. His
whatever regiment,
platoon or whatever.
Yeah.
Who passed away and he like goes to see them and like, I don't know, tell them about his last moments or something. And the mom's like, you can stay here if you want. And he's super creepy.
Oh. It's like that.
Yeah. So it's that.
He's very creepy. He stays there.
He's really creepy. He stays there. Ryan never really steps up and handles the fact that he says that to her.
No.
She's just like, as most girls in these books
are. They're like, I can't handle this. This is too much.
Yeah.
And just like runs away from whatever house she happens to be in at the time.
She also like keeps doing this thing where she's like, did he really say that? I must be losing it. Ah, and then like runs away
all the time.
So she runs off and she goes to Phoebe's house. Phoebe's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Jinx is.
Yes. Jinx is a little baby face cutie.
Here's the thing. Jinx was too mean to her, but I still shipped them.
I shipped them because he was little brother you've grown up with your whole life.
Yes.
He wasn't like, he wasn't Charles just being like shitty and like assuming his looks are going to get in places. Mm-hmm. He was mean to her like, oh, like anybody want to date you? You're so ugly.
I know.
Like,
he kept calling her ugly.
Level of mean.
I know. He'd be like, oh, like you better put a bag over your head, you ugly face.
He's like, oh, you wish, Macaulay. Like, oh, why are you waking me up? I'm so like, oh, why should I do you any favors? Yeah, sure. I'll drive you everywhere.
Also, the fact that she hasn't picked up on the fact that he has a crush on her. I'm like, girl, what?
It was cute.
It was cute. He was like, he would be like, oh, Macaulay, blah, blah, blah. And then she'd like get sad about something. And then his face would like soften and he'd be like, hey, Macaulay, like, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, aw. I don't know. I liked that.
Yeah,
I liked
he was only, he was teasing, not actually shitty. He was never not actually shitty.
Tormenting her with the death of her sister.
Yeah, not doing that.
Yeah, and not like literally being the killer of her sister.
Winchester. Poor Winchester.
Oh,
Winchester. He really got wrapped up in a world he couldn't handle.
He couldn't handle it.
So the cute boy Winchester, he likes her too. And he's never actually being shitty to her.
No.
He's a part of the plot.
Yeah.
To try to figure out what she knows.
Yeah. And he thinks that they're not going to hurt her. And he doesn't know that they killed Marissa.
And they're threatening his family.
Yes. So he's kind of like stuck in the...
He's gotten in over his head.
Yeah. And for those of you who watch Schitt's Creek, I pictured him to look like Mutt, which is the first season one love interest for, what's her name for the daughter? I forgot her name right now. Alexis. Just for you guys.
Cool. Good to know.
That have watched it. Here, I'm going to pull up a picture of him and then you'll see.
Okay.
He looks a little older, but like I pictured him being like a young Mutt.
I forgot where we were. Okay. So she runs to Phoebe's house. Jinx is there. Jinx gives her a ride home. She's like, I'll walk. And he's like, no, you won't. I'll drive you home. And then she explains what's going on. And he like, he believes her. He just doesn't think Charles said something so shitty.
Right.
Because it is a crazy thing to say to a person, like first thing out of your mouth, basically.
Yes, it is. That is insane.
So what I knew that they were going to get together when she was like, she tickled him.
Yes. Oh my God.
He said something. He said something about like, I don't know, being tough or like something about their childhoods together. And she's like, yeah, you're like so big and strong and all those girls like you. What if I tell them that like you're horribly ticklish? I know, like, remember that time me and Phoebe, like, whatever. And she's like, I bet you're still ticklish. She's like, no, I'm not. And she tickles him.
Yep.
And he's probably just had the biggest erection of his life.
Oh, totally. He couldn't get out of that car. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
This is what Mutt looks like. So, like, this, but younger.
Okay.
I'm just picturing...
looks fake as hell.
That beard?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really fake. I wonder... It probably is fake.
Yeah, it
probably is because... I can't pull it. Never mind. It won't let me click on the picture. He probably was like boning out like crazy when she was tickling him. And
poor
he's like, please stop. I can't get out of my car right now.
So she goes back inside, all of a sudden finds out her mom has said Charles can stay there and take her room. And she'll take Marissa's room. And her mom's boyfriend, Steve, is like being very nice about it. And he's like, yeah, I think it's inappropriate too. But
she's
like, your mom's
weird,
in a really rough place.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Steve seems genuinely nice.
Me
and
too.
Then I forget when I called that Steve was.
I didn't know Steve was involved. I was surprised.
I thought it was all him.
All Steve.
I think it was. Well, I mean, for one thing, I'm just always suspecting everyone in these books.
Of course, you have to.
But I think I thought I knew it was him when Charles fake tells Ryan the truth, or like that Marissa thought she was onto something, and
yeah,
he pretends that like he was helping her with it, and I understand why that was enough for her.
Yeah.
So that it's at that point I was like, whoa, did they like find Steve doing something?
Yeah,
he teaches at their college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's is it? Is it when
it was definitely Steve?
She asks him to check in at the college about Charles, and he's like, "Yeah," and he's a grade A student, and like blah blah blah, and he's like totally legit. Was it that?
That's not what I thought. Okay. No, it's when she catches Charles holding like a big old knife, trying to open one of Marissa's drawers.
Yes,
and she's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "It's a little extreme, I know, but I'm looking for something. Marissa told me that she'd gotten into some trouble," and she's like, "She told me that too."
I really wish that she was smarter.
I do too,
for her own sake.
Yes,
because when he says
that and she,
yeah, because like my response would still be like, "Okay, well, anyone can say anything. I don't really believe."
She's at the end of her rope.
Yeah.
Because a ton of other stuff has happened. Like, she gets home. She thinks that Marissa's corpse is sitting in the car honking at her.
What was that?
It was Steve or somebody.
Oh, my God.
So Steve is in the car pretending to be Marissa's soggy-ass cold corpse. And he's got an answering phone.
Wait, was that for that?
Answer machine message.
Yeah.
Now, all I can think is answerphone.
I know.
Answering machine message,
yeah,
that Marissa like had, and that they're playing it as though that's her speaking. How the fuck could you confuse a live
voice
with an answering machine recording?
It sounds like shit.
It would sound like shit.
It would sound
like shit. It's the tiniest little tape.
Yeah.
Even if I was recording it on my phone, it wasn't a person.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And she's like, but her voice sounded tinny and far away. And it's like, no, it sounded like a phone.
Sounded like a tape.
Yeah, it didn't sound real.
So then she's like cowering and the garage door opens and Steve hits her over the head, I think.
Yeah.
And then the garage door opens and Charles is like, oh, you fell. And she's like, what?
Yeah. And he takes care of her.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
There's a lot of like different men carrying her around.
Yeah.
Literally carrying
her. She's really being put through the ringer because three different people are fucking with her.
Mm-hmm.
And at any given point, they seem like the villain or her savior.
Yep.
It's crazy. She's losing her mind.
Yeah. They're all gaslighting her nonstop. Yeah. But she's kind of stupid, though.
Oh, she's stupid.
Like, I know she's traumatized.
But, like, if you put a stupid person in those circumstances, yeah, you can blame a stupid person, yeah, for reacting the way, yeah, she does.
She's going to act how a stupid person acts.
Yeah.
It's just, like, there were so many things where I'm like, don't believe them. And every time she's like, oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, she comes full circle. She comes, like, she does a 180 on fucking
She's
Charles.
Twirling on everyone.
She's twirling.
She's just twirling.
She's twirling
she's
on Charles.
She's twisting in the wind.
But her instincts were right. She's like, this guy's a fucking creep.
Yep.
And then later she's like, well, I don't know. Mom really likes him. And it's like,
and part of it is that Steve is telling her that he's like really legit.
Yeah.
Because Steve is a part of it.
And then there's a lot of like really cute moments of her just like with Jinx, which I liked.
Yeah.
Of him helping her out and like her saying like, hey, can you drive me somewhere? And he's like, ugh, like I'm eating pizza, and she's like, I will
buy you pizza
and gas. And he's like, okay. And he always comes, like, he's looking out for her. I liked, mm-hmm, that.
She's, everything gets all jumbled. Oh, another big event that jumps out, because a lot of little things are happening, like a guy in a big coat and a ski mask is chasing her. Mm-hmm. Like, people are chasing her, and she can't make out faces or anything. So that's happening all throughout, basically. But then Phoebe ropes her into going caroling, which
Phoebe's being a real selfish cunt.
Phoebe
this whole
sucks. She is not listening to her friend at all. Her friend's sister died 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So she forces her to come caroling, and she forces Charles into it too.
And she's like, Charles can be your date. And it's like, what?
Pushing him to date her.
I know.
It makes no sense. Like, in these books, if a boy's cute, he is like, better snap that up.
Yep. I think she even says, you better snap that up.
Probably. That's probably why the words are in my head. So then they're done, and they go to a party after, and he roofies her drink.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's all of a sudden like slip sliding all over the place and like falling asleep.
And then he drives her home.
Phoebe packs her into a van with him because he's an idiot.
Mm-hmm. He starts driving in the snow. He's like, oh no, I hit a dog. The dog ran off. Let me check. And so she goes outside. He ditches her.
And she's all roofied out. She's like that there's stumbling. A hurt dog somewhere.
She's stumbling around in the snow. Who rescues her?
Winchester. She wakes up. Here's what I couldn't stop thinking about. She wakes up, bundles in blankets in front of a fire, no clothes on.
No clothes. Her clothes are hanging above the fire.
And Winchester's like, don't worry, I kept my eyes closed.
So he's like, which means fumbling.
He took off all of her clothes while she was unconscious.
He took off all of her clothes while she was unconscious by feel. So he's just fumbling and
there's
bumbling.
No way that's true.
I'm just picturing.
So he just fully undressed her.
I'm picturing him like eyes closed, facing away. And like every time he slips, she like thumps on the ground.
There would also be so much more pawing of her body would be involved if his eyes are closed.
Much worse.
At least he could be like delicately. Gentle, yeah. Just like but he's thumb and forefinger like, just like gently taking the clothes off of her. And it's like, I get it. She's wet and freezing.
Yeah.
But to be like, don't worry, I kept my eyes closed. He'd be grabbing boob and butt all over the place. Yeah,
he'd be like spreading her ass cheeks to try and get her underwear off. Like, what the fuck? No way.
Like, oops, fingered you. Sorry.
Yep. Yeah. He like slipped. He's like, oh God, I fisted you.
Oh, no. I did not mean to do that.
Oh, no.
Oh,
sorry.
Like, that's on me.
Yeah. Like,
she's
bundled, like, oh, better.
And he's being like super sweet.
Yeah. He lives in like a shed with his siblings.
Untold number of siblings.
Yes. That range from 3 to 10.
Mm-hmm. And he says he can't reach anybody because the phone lines are out.
Yeah.
So she'll have to stay the night. It's supposed to be that he's trying to find out what she knows about Marissa being freaked. But does he ever ask her any questions?
I didn't remember him asking her any questions.
I didn't either.
He's just like,
I think it's just he got in. So Steve. Oh, yeah. Steve, Charles and Mr. Partini.
Yeah.
Have all enlisted Winchester to be the drug delivery boy.
Yeah.
And he got involved for the money. And now he can't get uninvolved because they're threatening his family.
Mm-hmm.
So they have given him the task of, we're going to drive Ryan out to the woods after drugging her.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to pick her up and take her to safety. And so she'll trust you and maybe tell you what she knows. But I don't remember him.
He didn't ask her anything.
Asking her
when
anything.
When he said, like, I asked her and she didn't know anything, I was like, did he?
Did you?
Because I don't think so. I think he just
I think he's just trying to protect her.
Yeah. And then later, when she's driving around with Jinx the next day, she sees the dad of Winchester. And she's like,
Dad of Winchester.
And he's like, oh, I'm glad that you're okay. And she's like, hey, I hope that your phones are okay.
Yeah, or your phone's back up or something.
And he's like, they were never out. And she's like, interesting. And so it turns out that like he had lied to her about the phones being out, but he really did that because he wanted her to stay over because he likes her. Because the only reason that he started dating her sister was to get closer to her, which was weird.
That never makes any sense to me when that is put in as a plot point for something.
No, nope.
That's like the worst way to try to worm your way into somebody's heart. It's like, yeah, I fucked around with your sister
and basically made myself off limits.
Like, made myself off limits. Confused her emotionally.
Yeah.
May have been physical with her.
Oh.
But it was all to get to you. Yep. Aren't you flattered?
And then she's like, wow. Thank you.
Cool.
Speaking of off limits.
I'm with Jinx now.
Guys, if you have not watched season 2 of Fleabag yet. oh fast my forward God. Now. All I'm going to say is Hot Priest
and Neil.
Neil. Ah! When he said that, I was like, oh no. You know what I thought he was going to do? I thought he was going to put his penis through the thing.
Oh no, I just thought he was. Well, first I didn't know. I was like, it took me a little bit to understand that he was, I guess it's, we don't want to talk about it yet, do we? It hasn't been out for that long. Let's talk about it, you and I.
Okay, later. Okay. But that's all we're
Fleabag,
saying.
Season two.
Ooh, baby.
Hot Priest.
Hot Priest is pot. And not bullshit like Young Pope.
It's not fucking with you like Young Pope.
Yeah, it's not teasing. It's not being a little, put a dirty little in cop something. Tease like Young Pope.
Dirty little clit tease like Young Pope.
It actually delivers.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Have you finished season two?
No.
Oh my God.
I haven't finished it yet. I've only seen.
Did you finish
Neil.
That episode?
Yes.
Okay.
I did.
All right.
But I now what? Now what's gonna happen?
Oh jeez. Jeez. Jeez Louise, what's going to happen with Hot Priest and Fleabag?
There's a lot of kitten screaming happening in the other room. I don't know why. It's so high. Is he being okay?
Is he being okay?
Okay.
What's he being?
Oh, he's being a monster. I heard you saying, ouch. Was he biting you?
Yeah.
Micah's taking care
being
of...
Being cat dad
right now to Smokey. Tiny Smokey.
So,
oof.
Yeah. So it was like, it was so. Here's why it was hot that Winchester undressed her and put her in the blankets.
Okay.
Is because he didn't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he didn't do anything.
So it's like, that's hot.
Well, because he was being responsible.
Yeah.
He didn't intentionally paw her up. He just like did it because he couldn't look at her.
I don't think that he had his fucking eyes
closed.
I don't think so either.
I think he was watching
it's
what
impossible.
He was doing.
Yeah.
And was like, definitely like, unbuttoned.
Here's what's hot is like a man touching you and being so respectful.
Yeah. Being respectful and just trying to make sure you don't get hypothermia
is fucking hot.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yeah. Sorry. I mean,
he's still
again.
Like, he should have like found a sister or.
He could have had that like little sister, yeah, 10-year-old girl
get
that
Katie
came
to
help out.
Unstrap that bra.
Yeah.
Do you think it went that far?
I think, okay, what if he did
you probably
this?
Left her underwear on. And her bra.
If you like, oh God, completely nude.
You would know.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's just your shirt and pants gone, it's like, okay, yeah. Well, I don't want hypothermia, but you should not have been taking my
also,
clothes
what
off.
What if you were wearing like C-team underwear?
Oh.
And like he sees it and it's like your ratty, ew. Like terrible underwear that you know?
Yeah.
Ugh. Because I have underwear that I don't want people seeing.
Yeah. What if you're circling on laundry day?
Yes. And then you got some whack granny panties on that are like the elastic's all fucked up.
Well, then you should have thought about that before you got wrapped up in a town-wide drug ring that involves a boy having to remove all your clothing so you don't freeze.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He was doing
it's
it
like
to save
her
life.
Mothers used to say, like, you better be wearing a clean pair of panties because you don't know if you're going to be involved in a town-wide drug ring.
Wait, what? They always said, right? This is real, right? That they would say you should wear clean panties because, like, what if you get
in a car
murdered?
Accident and the EMTs
see your underwear.
See your dirty underwear.
Oh.
I don't know if that actually did happen or if that's just a weird thing that seeped into our culture.
Woo!
Is happening.
I was doing Jaws of Life on this family and that
and
kid.
Woo, the skid marks on
skid
this kid.
Marks.
Yeah, I think you really only had to say that to your sons.
Yeah.
Skid marks. Can I say?
Yeah.
I think it's great that California, for the most part, doesn't have gendered bathrooms anymore.
Yeah, I love that.
Here's what I would like, though.
What?
One bathroom just for straight cis men.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that they're the ones fucking up our bathrooms now. Now that it's been ungendered,
it gets kind of nasty.
It's straight cis men
turning what used to be nice women's restrooms mm-hmm. into garbage. So I want one restroom for the straight cis men.
I don't know, dude.
And I want one restroom for the rest of us.
There's some like dirty, like even from before.
Well, I can't like, control those women.
Yeah. There are certain but people that are just real nasty.
I'm just saying you'd weed out the yeah. worst. You'd weed out yeah. the worst of them. I'm happy to share a bathroom
yeah.
with my
with everybody.
Trans brothers and sisters yeah. and my neutral gendered brothers and sisters, yeah. my non-binary brothers yeah. and sisters and not gendered sibling terms.
Yeah.
Siblings. There we go. I found yeah, it.
Siblings.
But get those gross dudes
those
out of my bathroom.
Cishet men. There's a way that some people treat public restrooms that is...
It is inhuman.
Absolutely.
I used to be able to reliably, and obviously this is a small price to pay. I'm just doing my complaining.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have a reliable gas station bathroom that I would stop out on the way from LA to San Diego. It's like a nice mm-hmm. midway point. And ever since those bathrooms got ungendered, it's been a real nightmare. And now I can't stop there anymore because the last time I went, there was actual shit smeared on the floor.
Yeah.
The smell was atrocious. It was horrible. And that bathroom used to be reliably clean.
I believe that. I will say in my experience, there is something about, and this is historically, even before bathrooms became gender neutral, about a women's Target restroom. That is, like, Target's usually clean.
Children.
It's children. Targets are usually clean. The bathrooms are like a whole other
yeah.
situation. The line's always forever, and it smells like shit in there.
Yeah. It's because of all the kids that moms are taking to Target.
And there are also, like, there are people who go to the bathroom and are like, I don't need to flush.
It's fine that I have diarrhea.
Why? Unknown. Like, just.
I can just leave this bloody tampon floating yeah. in here.
Oh, God. Also, look, no period shaming here, right? Have you ever gone into a bathroom and mm-hmm. you're like, someone is on like day three of their flow right now, and it is bad. Like, and I'm. Like,
they are not that hygienic to begin with.
No. Yeah. It's like, I am doing a face plant into a fucking maxi pad. It's so gross. It's like, dude, what?
What? Yeah.
Like, and the thing is, you're not supposed to flush those, right? So people put those in the little trash cans, and sometimes those mm-hmm. trash cans don't get cleaned out.
Sometimes they don't even have bags.
No, they're just loose.
I do not know what to do when that happens to me. I'm like, there's no bag there. And yeah. I'm like, I still have to put it in. I'm so sorry, yeah. janitorial staff, yeah. but I have to throw
what
this away
I try
somewhere.
To do is like wrap it in a bunch of toilet paper.
Well, I do that anyway.
Like a lot, like to a point where it's like a sphere.
Oh.
And then I put it in, you know what I mean? Just yeah. so that it's like
gives it even more.
Yeah. yeah. If there's no bag, I'm like, I don't want.
Yeah. Oof.
Oh, but it
but yeah.
it's just
it, and it's everywhere. So I know it's the straight cis men.
It's also like, why poo-poo on the floor?
Well, that person was just sick. I'm guessing that person, it was like a drug.
There's
like they're having a drug problem.
A drug
and
problem.
Like their body is out of control.
There was one of my friends went was studying abroad in Spain. And on the first day, her roommate was like, and they were staying in like this hotel type thing for the first night. So they shared hotel rooms. So it was her and her roommate. And her friend's like, I know that I always get really constipated when I travel. So I'm going to take a bunch of laxatives.
Mm.
And she was like, I don't know if you should do that just because like we're going to be out all day. Like you just don't know what's going to happen. And she was like, it's going to be fine. I know my body. So she like took a bunch of laxatives and they're out at this bar. And she's like, I have to go home right now. I have to go right now. Right. We have to leave right now. So she's like, okay, okay, okay.
She pranked herself.
She pranked herself. She was like, my friend was like, she didn't make it to the toilet.
Oh my God.
And she was like, it was on the walls. Like, it was like, she's like, it was inhuman. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was like that. I mean, well, the thing is whoever had done it
yeah.
tried to clean it up to the best of their ability.
So they smeared it.
but there were still smears and it smelled so bad. And because they had tried to clean it more or less, I couldn't immediately figure out where, like, why it smelled so bad.
Yeah.
But then I close the door and I go over to the toilet and I see like a few smears still like just around the base of the toilet. And then the toilet itself is fucking horrifying. Just like pee everywhere. Yeah. That's how I know it's the...
Yeah, the pee-pee everywhere.
Yeah. And pubic hair just everywhere. That's another thing about when guys use the restroom is like pubic hair everywhere.
Yeah. The shedding aspect of the pubic hair appearing everywhere.
Out of control.
It is out of control. I will say, you know what? I did used to see that in... I used to see that in when I at my firm, in the women's restroom.
Well, again, it's certainly not exclusive.
Yeah, but the pubic hair thing all over the toilet.
That's weird.
I'm like, what are you doing?
I've never had that be a constant problem at a workplace.
It was weird. It was like a lot.
Somebody is not maintaining.
You know what I worry about?
Yes.
You know what I think it probably was?
What? You.
I think it was me.
I think it might have been me.
I think it is. Someone's on the toilet. Because my question is, how does the hair remove itself from the body? And like, go elsewhere.
It goes, we're free.
Yeah. It's like freedom. I think someone's like scratching a lot.
Yeah.
Your face just then was like, oh no. You know, I think they're scratching a
immediate
lot.
Frown.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
well, probably what's happening is they're like scratching.
While.
No, I think that they're scratching throughout the day.
Okay. Oh,
in,
I see.
In their clothes. And so it's like, just like building.
It's
and
like
then
a
they'll
nail
pull
bomb.
Their underwear down.
Yeah. And it's
and
like,
it'll be.
Yeah. So there, it's like when you go to the beach and you get a bunch of sand in the gusset of your swimsuit, but it's like pubes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that I know that that's what it is because it's ever since everything became gender neutral. Yeah.
This is the situation.
There should be a tiny little hole for
cishet
men.
It's like a glory hole, but for pee-pees.
I'm with a cishet man.
Yeah.
Cishet man.
Mm-hmm.
I know what his bathroom looks like.
It's also like, I remember hearing horror stories in high school of the boys' bathroom.
Yeah. Like, you've heard it forever.
It's just, I mean, I remember once there was like a turd on the floor that was huge.
Oh.
And like everyone was just going in to look at it. Like that was like that day where everyone's like, dude, did you see the log? So then everyone would like go look at the log.
Yep.
Because it was like a corn dog.
Yeah.
On the floor.
And I do not think.
Mm-mm. It's just clean.
Trans women and men are doing this.
I don't think so. It has to be cishet men. Because there's a certain entitlement there, right? Right?
Yes.
Like, oh, life's easy for me. I'm just going to poo-poo all over the floor and smear it around.
It's like somebody else will clean this up.
Yes. This isn't my problem.
Someone else will take care of this.
Yeah.
It's a bathroom. I can treat it however, because it's a gross, stupid bathroom. What do I care?
Exactly.
Somebody else has to clean this up.
Yeah. 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 I think that's it. It's the attitude.
Yeah. It's all about attitude.
Because sometimes you get sick. You can't control what's going on. So there's outliers.
Yeah.
But I think there is kind of like a, I don't give a fuck. Because also, I feel like it goes in line with like the same type of men that are like, don't do any housework, and then their wife does all the housework, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, he can't even fold a sheet. Isn't that adorable? Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean,
no,
not really.
It's not.
I mean, I would hope he could fold a sheet.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Anyway, side note. I kind of forget why I got on this.
Bathrooms are horror shows. Let's see what we were talking about.
Stripping nude.
Oh yeah, stripping nude.
Is it that?
Yeah, because we were talking about C-team underwear and skid marks.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. And then...
Yeah, so she wakes up. Winchester's dad drives her home. Some bullshit with Charles. Who cares? Who knows?
I was so bored by Charles.
Every scene with Charles, I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I don't care. You're you clearly suck.
Yeah.
Even if you, he's a Cusick boy who will suck regardless.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even if he didn't do it, he sucks.
Yeah.
He's like the shitty, like Alexander, or whatever. The rapist boy from
the workout room. Right?
No.
Oh,
that might have been Cusick too, but I'm thinking Overdue. We have another classic, like Killer is like real busy.
Yes.
But there's three to four of them now.
Yeah.
So no wonder they get so much done.
Yes.
So that's her solution now.
Because they're building snowmen.
They're building 6 foot tall snowmen.
6 foot tall snowmen with faces that are looking straight up so she can see it from her room.
And ribbons in its
ribbons
head.
In its hair. They're like pretending they're to be dead doll girls. Houses. Breaking doll houses.
They're drugging her. They're driving out into the woods and abandoning her. They're wrapping her in blankets naked. They're,
you know what they're doing though? They're spending too much time on her. They have a drug running business to run.
Yeah, who's running that business? They should focus on that.
They also, probably lost so much money.
She hasn't done anything.
She does not.
She doesn't know, you dummies.
Also, all they had to do was like get rid of the photos.
Yeah.
She would have been none the wiser and probably would have forgotten about it.
But they didn't know that there were photos.
Had she, well, what's his name did?
Nobody knew.
Had they never, first of all, first step they shouldn't have done. They shouldn't have been terrorizing her about this because she would have forgotten.
Yeah.
Second step. But they did that. So fine. We are where we are. Once Charles finds out that she had gotten those photos developed.
Oh, yeah. Then don't even bother killing her. Because he already picked them up.
Yeah. He picked them up. He could destroy them. He could be like, I didn't take them. Someone else did. We'll never find out.
Yeah.
Done.
And instead, they pretend that Marissa's body was found. They pretend to be the sheriff's station.
Yes.
And get her to drive out there. And I love, she like tells Jinx, she's like, I gotta go. They found Marissa. I have to go identify the body. It's like some fucking barn.
Yeah.
She runs. And it says in the book that like, you can just hear Jinx through the phone. Like, why would they have you identify her there?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be at the morgue?
And it's funny because actually in that moment, that was the only moment where she was acting like a little idiot, but I probably would have done the same thing. Like, you just don't think, right? Like, you're just like,
I wouldn't have thought about it, yeah.
Like, they found the body. I have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would never.
Well, if you find, it's like your dead sister's body was found, you'd be in such a state.
Exactly.
Who could even think straight?
Exactly. So I was like, you know, she is being an idiot, but in that moment, I would be too.
Yeah.
I would go do it.
But it is really funny. It's like, it's at a farm. I have to go.
And she's like, it's at a farm off the highway.
Yeah, so I'm going here.
So then.
And then brave little Jinx chases after her.
Yeah, and they almost kill him, but they don't.
Mm-hmm. Jinx's real name is Jimmy.
She calls him Jinx because everything bad seems to happen when he's around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Phoebe hates Jinx. Hates him.
Yeah. But he's like grown into quite a cute man.
He's cute. I kept picturing him as a guy I had a crush on when I was little.
Really?
Uh-huh. Big old dimple.
Aww.
Huge baby face.
I was having trouble picturing him. Cast him for me. Tom Holland?
Tall Tom Holland?
Tall Tom Holland.
I was picturing him as really tall.
Me too.
Did you describe him as tall?
Tall and thin.
Forget. Yeah.
Yeah, because he grew recently. Because he like didn't Tom used Holland to be works. Tall and was now. Tall Tom Holland.
Or Noah Centineo from To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
Oh, yeah.
Babyface.
Yeah. I could see that.
Let's say him.
Okay, him. Yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. The way that we find out that Jinx likes Ryan.
I felt so
mean.
Bad for him.
So Phoebe takes Jinx's car to go drive somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mostly forget why. But while they're out,
this is what happens. This is another example for being a terrible friend.
Mm-hmm.
So Ryan. Ryan has just gotten home or no to Jinx's house and she's like had a really rough time. And then Phoebe comes back and she's like, I've just been on the most wonderful date with so-and-so.
Oh yeah,
and
she will not shut up.
She will not shut up. And Ryan is like, I really need to talk to you. Like something really messed up happened with, I think it was, maybe she thought she saw, this movie was
just
in
like
the car.
Everything,
whatever, something. She's like, I had a really tough time. And she's like, let's go get a cappuccino. And she's like, I don't
tell me about
want
it over
to.
A cappuccino.
And she's like, I don't want to. Please, can we just stay here? And she's like, let's go. We're going to take Jinx's car. So that's why they go.
I forgot that. That is why. Then while they're out, one of her four or three tormentors slashes Jinx's tires and just like rips out parts of his engine.
Yeah, that was weird.
So then Jinx like tells on Phoebe to their dad. And so the dad's like, well, you can't go to the New Year's dance then. And she's like, but Michael, you're ruining. I can't go with Michael now. You're ruining my life. This is the worst thing that's ever happened. And then like just to hurt him back, Phoebe starts taunting Jinx like, oh, yeah, why don't you tell her how much you're in love with her?
Tell her about that box of photos you have of her. Tell her about that letter that you wrote that you would never send her. And he's like so embarrassed. And so is Ryan.
Such a bummer.
Phoebe sucks, dude.
Phoebe does suck. Oh, here we go. Who cares about your stupid car? Why don't you just ask Ryan to go with you like you wanted to do all along? And maybe she can drive you. He's like, oh, right. Like, I trust her with my life.
Oh, my God.
Oh, stop it, Jinx. Why not just let her hear it? I'm sure she'll be so flattered that the jerkiest little guy in the whole town has had a crush on her his whole life.
Oh, my God.
And Jinx is just doing his best to keep up the charade. He's like, yeah, stupid, in her dreams. Okay, then why don't we tell her about the pictures you've got, huh? In that box with all your most private stuff. You're crazy, Phoebe. You don't know anything about my stuff. Like hell I don't. That box you keep in your closet and all those pictures of Ryan from the time she was little all the way up till now. And what about that letter you wrote her but you never mailed? How did it go? It's so hard for me to tell you what I'm feeling because I think you're so... Shut up, Phoebe.
Oh, my God.
And what else did it say? I'd love for us to be alone together sometime. And Phoebe, don't. And then finally, Ryan's like, Phoebe, stop it.
And then afterwards, like, so Phoebe storms off and it's just her and Ryan. And Ryan's like just standing there, like looking at the wall. And she's like, hey, she's just acting crazy. I don't believe what she said. And then she literally goes, wow, look at the time. I should go. And then runs off into the kitchen to get picked up.
She's like, yeah, I don't worry. I don't believe any of that. Woo-wee, it's late.
Woo, my dogs are barking. Yeah.
It's been a long month of getting tormented. I better go.
Oh, God. But then at the end, she asks him to ask her out, which is very cute. And they go to the dance together. What about this? Where she's trapped in the toy shop and the guy with the ski mask coming at her.
Oh, yeah.
And she breaks. Like
punching the windows.
Punches it out. Gets cut up. Shows up at the garage where Jinx is working. He takes her to the hospital. Her parents and everyone think that she's tried to kill herself. But
except for Steve, who knows.
Except for Steve, who knows, because he was the one who was
fucking with her.
Yeah. And she keeps saying, I had to. It was the only way out. And they think that means that kill she herself. Was trying to die.
Yeah.
And she's saying, no, no, no. Like, it was literally the only way out of the building. But she's
no
all
one's
drugged
listening
up.
To her. Yeah. What a nightmare. I thought that they were going to institutionalize her.
Me too. I thought it was going to get much worse. But instead it blows over because then they're like, oh, the drug ring.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Oh, yeah. So she goes to the farmhouse and it's just full of drugs.
So many drugs.
So many
bags and bags of drugs.
And then Charles is there and she's like, man, I fucking knew it. And he's like, yeah, well, did you know this? And Steve shows up and she's like, what? And then Mr. Partini shows up and she's like, what?
She's like, dude, we have the person who is trying to ruin our business.
Oh, well, where is my little Bambolina?
And she's like, Mr. Pantini. Or Partini.
And he's like, yes, it was I, and I'm selling the drugs.
And then someone says, is that Ryan? And she's like, what the fuck? And it's fucking Winchester. And he's like, oh my God,
he's
I didn't
like,
know
why
you were
are
involved.
You guys doing this?
And then he's like,
you
wait.
Said you wouldn't get, you said you wouldn't get hurt.
He's like,
I'm Winchester.
Oh, I was so sad when Marissa fell in. And everyone like looks at him. He's like, wait, she didn't fall in.
Oh man. Jeez, I thought for sure that was just a happy coincidence for you guys.
And then he's like, guys, you should. So then they're like, we killed Jinx, but they didn't really. And they're like, we got to go deal with something. They all leave. And Winchester's like,
guys, you got to take my truck and drive as far away as you can and call the police on the radio. And I'm going to create a distraction for you.
I thought it was really sad when she was like, but what about you? And he goes, they're going to kill me either way.
Yeah, I thought that was really sad.
That was really sad. So he's like, save yourselves. I'm dead.
But then he doesn't die.
Then he doesn't die. Fine. He has to kill. So Steve shoots at Charles, who's shooting at her and Jinx in the truck.
Yes.
There's a big old chase. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And Winchester then shoots Steve, I think.
Yeah. And Charles dies.
And Winchester turns to testify against them.
Yeah.
And that's how he's going to get like a lighter sentence. Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end, she's like, ask me to the dance. And Jinx is like, okay. And then he's like, he says, he makes some joke about her like being ugly or something. And she goes to punch him and then he grabs her hand and then they hold hands.
It's cute.
It's very cute.
Yeah.
I liked this book.
I did too.
I did laugh out loud at the Mr. Partini being involved.
Mr. Partini being involved. I was like, crazy.
What? Are you kidding me?
I really did not see that one coming.
Me neither.
I never would have thought that.
I never would have thought he was involved.
He's like, oh, all of my drugs. You are threatening my business.
I couldn't believe it. He's like, you come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding.
On the day of my Christmas.
Yeah, I liked this book.
Yeah, it was fun.
If you guys are wondering if you should read it, I think you should read it.
Mm-hmm. And if you guys really like a girl in a book having sexual tension with people who might murder her.
Yeah.
It's the book for you.
Yeah, because she does have weird sexual tension.
So many.
With even Mr. Pantini. if you are watching / reading along, I will say, next week we are going to be talking about Jawbreaker with Oz Montoya.
Mm-hmm, the movie Jawbreaker starring... what's her face?
Rose McGowan.
Yes. And the girl from the Neutrogena commercials in the 90s.
Wasn't that Natalie Portman or was that the 2000s?
That was probably the 2000s. This is definitely 90s. She's got very curly hair. Anyway,
that's what we're covering. Thank you so much to everybody who listens and to everybody that gives on our Patreon. We really appreciate it.
Yep. You're wonderful.
You're wonderful. If you want to check it out, it's patreon.com/teencreeps.
If you would like to leave us a review, rate and review us in iTunes or, sorry, Apple Podcasts. I'm so old.
What is this, 2017?
What is this, a year ago? In Apple Podcasts or whatever app you do use to listen to podcasts, that would be very helpful to us. Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks for listening again, guys. Please listen again next week. Keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered and mastered by Alex Sarche. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.